Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
As well as special guest, John Norris.
How are you, man?
Thank you so much, John, for sitting here.
Of course, in for Erica.
With us, sitting in for Erica.
Are you a listener? Are you a listener, John?
I'm a big listener. I listened last week.
I enjoyed
the shout out to Voltaire last week.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes. It was nice. I figured this is the academic podcast it award.
Yeah, I feel like you said the academic podcast and everyone just stopped listening right after that. They're like, oh, this is not what I was hoping to listen
to. Yeah, I wanted to talk about pop music, not...
Yeah,
you know.
I want some Voltaire. Anyways, but let's dig into... I feel like we have to start because she's Madonna. Got to start with Madonna. So this is...
Does she have something going on this week?
Yeah, Madonna is kind of under the radar album. So Rebel Heart finally dropped after, the leaks last December, and then she released 6 songs and then released another 3 songs. So today we got the full album, which was an additional 10 songs, I believe. And I'm a huge Madonna fan, but I'm not going to lie. A lot of the new ones I found a little tepid, a little not so interesting.
Really? I thought you were we've talked about some Madonna songs on the show, and you're like, hey.
Yeah, no, I would say there's a lot on Rebel Heart that I really like.
Okay.
Like 5 songs that I'm really, really into.
Me too. I wonder, I'm just curious if.
If we have the same
Yeah,
face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
The one I put for this is the Nas
Stay tuned.
Collaboration. Yeah, don't touch
the tease.
That dial.
That's known as a tease.
Veni Vidi Vici, and it's the one she did with Nas, which leaked a while back, but the official version just came out this week. And I think it's one of the best ones of the new songs we've got. It's a weird song. It finds Madonna lyrically like looking back and name checking a bunch of her past hits. Certainly not the first time she's done that, but I think the most interesting thing is this is a song that kind of combines acoustic folk and pop music, which she did on American Life and which pretty much no fans enjoyed. Yet she's doing it on this song, and I think it sounds fantastic. And then, you know, there's Nas rap, so hip-hop gets thrown into the mix. I think this is like a throwback to American Life that somehow actually works. But what did you guys think of it?
I hear you on the combination that makes the track. And I guess I like it a lot because I love the melody. I love the hook melody, and I think it's really sweetly sung in a way that we don't hear from her much anymore. It is definitely one of my favorites on the record. And of course, the aspect of it that everyone is going back to is the unexpected thing about the track, that from somebody who is profoundly non-nostalgic.
Yeah.
Jason, you don't know this about me, but Joe knows that I'm probably the only the one less nostalgic person on earth. After Madonna, you know,
this is true.
Yeah, I definitely.
You're not into it's the 15-year anniversary of Will Smith's Big Willie style.
No, and if someone asked me again, what was it like to report on Kurt Cobain dying, or you know, what's Madonna like, or what was it like the first time Britney was on TRL? But anyway,
I literally asked like 10 minutes ago. I was like, yeah, TRL. What was that like? Yeah. So I'm sorry.
No. TRL was fun, but I do think it's interesting that she chose to like do this sort of like kind of rap recap, you know, referencing everything from Borderline to Justify My Love to Vogue to like a prayer, in kind of a wistful way. And wistful, man, you don't get wistful very often from her, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that is a nice, different look, you know?
It is, yeah.
I feel like I'm not sure about Nas's place on this track. And I agree with you guys that I enjoy the melody and I enjoy what Madonna brings to it in terms of her approach to the lyrics. But I'm not sure. You know, I like to play devil's advocate a lot on this show, I feel like. Sometimes I'm like, you know.
I feel like he's a little laid back. I feel like if he went like really fiery, it would have sounded off. But he's also in a reflective mood.
Yeah,
I
he think was it, like, yeah,
thematically,
like 1994.
Yeah, they're both kind of talking about like coming from nothing in New York to obviously massive success.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good track. I'm not sure if it needs the whole Nas intro and then verse, but I enjoy it.
I'm curious, so what were the other ones you really liked on the new one?
Ghost Town is probably one of my favorites.
Ghost Town really grew on me. I have to say the first time I was not into it, but I've really come to like it a lot. Living for Love, I think, is incredible.
Yeah.
I like Bitch and Madonna a lot.
You do?
It's ridiculous, wow. But I have to say it's like,
okay.
I used it as like a pump-up song last Saturday. I was going out later than I usually go out, and so I needed something to get like excited, and it works like
and
perfectly
for
that.
Bitch
and I put on Bitch I'm Madonna.
You're a great guy, Joe.
That I am. But other ones, yeah, like some of the things.
Joan of Arc. What do you think of that?
Not so
much.
A little too slow, maybe. Some of the other ones, like the Holy Water, where she's using holy water as a metaphor for her vaginal juices. It's just, I don't know. I just feel
just
like. Thought-
He said it, not us.
I said it. And like she's talking about how Yeezus loves her, you know, XYZ best.
Is it she says Yeezus or Jesus?
She says Yeezus.
Oh, okay.
As in Kanye. I feel like it's almost just like being transgressive just to be transgressive. Like.
Yeah, it's a little trying too hard maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because she, you know, the thing is, she didn't do that back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, she, for all the buttons she pushed back then, using the language she uses, now I sound like my dad, but like using the language she uses on that track was just some, she didn't really do that. So it's sort of like a little over the top, I thought. Yeah. But anyway.
I haven't heard the whole album yet, so I don't want to say what my favorite songs are, but I like Living for Love, and it's kind of, I mean, it's a little spectacular how poorly that song has done. Like, she performed it on like the Grammys and the Brits, and like it's a Madonna single. It hasn't been on the Hot 100. It's not even like in like a top 20 hit. It's like just nothing. And I'm curious as to what do you guys think should be a future single?
I mean,
I think.
You know, I think this one is probably the next best shot. I feel like the last like big look she had on the charts was "Give Me All Your Lovin'," which I think was. Peaked at 10, which was a big assist from Minaj and MIA. I don't think they made the song, but I think they helped the song get to top 10.
Yeah,
and I feel like similarly, Nas will help this, like two artists will help this like jump up the charts. It's sad though. Yeah, I feel like Living for Love is a much better song than Give Me All Your Love, and it really should be in the top 20.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not getting...
Well, you guys being more chart-oriented would be able to tell me, is Nas the kind of chart bait? You might, you know, say
probably not. No.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing, I guess.
Wow.
Which is,
well, I mean,
it's sounded like Nas is a genius.
You know who's the biggest chart bay now? Mike Tyson.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
Oh
exactly.
Yeah. It's basically like Rihanna, Taylor Swift, Mike Tyson. So.
Yep. Do you know, is Veni Vidi Vici, is that a Wesley Pence track, Diplo? Or is that
I don't know, actually.
I'm not sure. I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to stump you.
I don't know who produced it.
No.
but anyways, now that I've flubbed that, let's listen to it.
Wow, I'm sorry.
All right, let's listen. It's Madonna featuring Nas, Veni Vidi Vici.
Seemed like yesterday, I was a baby on the street. I took a holiday. I was stepping to the beat. I had to pay my rent.
All right, that was the new Madonna, or one of the new ones. Next up, this is a John pick. It's Will Butler of Arcade Fire, the younger Arcade Fire brother, who has a solo album called Policy. And the song we're going to highlight is Son of God. But let's just talk about the album.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting record. I don't know that everybody, that the world was necessarily clamoring for a Will Butler solo record, but for whatever reason, he wanted to do one. And it's, I think it's interesting. It's a short record. I think it's 28 minutes,
yeah,
right?
About 28
something
minutes.
Like that. Yeah. And really modest, just sort of unassuming record compared to certainly Reflector. And that, the whole over the topness of that, not just record, but production. And it's got a lot of variety on it, I think, too. I mean, there's a couple of these kind of almost sad sack piano ballads. Mm-hmm. Finish What I Started, which, like, I could almost, with a different voice, hear, like, Stephen Merritt singing it, like a Magnetic Fields type mm-hmm. song. And then you've got this sort of rockabilly opener, Take My Side. Anna, which is the song that people have probably heard the most, is really super up-tempo. And
yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, that's great. And then this one, and then Son of God, I read the other day Will saying that it was actually a hymn, a legitimate hymn that thematically inspired it, a hymn that had to, that I wasn't familiar with, which is shocking because I'm really a pretty religious
church
guy.
Church music academic.
I am. But that it was a hymn that sort of talks about putting everything in God's hands because you know you're going to screw it up. Something in life where I'm so convinced that I'm going to mess this up that I'm just sort of putting it all in your hands. And that was kind of the idea that he started from on this song. But I also think it's got a little bit of that, you know, when Arcade Fire have done religion, have touched on religion in for instance, Neon Bible or that Antichrist television
Antichrist
blues,
television blues
mm-hmm. which is one of my unsung favorite songs from
I think
that
all
band.
Of Neon Bible is kind of underrated, right?
Yeah.
Like that's always that's the true. One that's all because like and I'm sorry this is going off on a tangent, but like Funeral's the first, like the classic. The Suburbs is like the big commercial one mm-hmm. that won album
sure.
of the year, and then Reflector's the dancey one. I feel like Neon Bible is like they just don't really know what to kind of do with it. They don't play that many songs mm-hmm. at their shows anymore, but like I love those songs. Those songs are great. Anyway,
it's true. No, I hear you. Yeah. So and you know, he's a smart guy, and I think he's got a lot to say on a lot of things, but including spirituality and religion and I don't know. And then I've read a couple of Talking Heads comparisons on some of the tracks in this record too, and I hear a little bit of that on this maybe.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, it's weird. I think this particular song definitely sounds closer to Arcade Fire, or at least old Arcade Fire, than anything else on the album. And I do think it's one of the best ones on it. That being said, I think the strong point of the solo record is the diversity that you're talking about. Like, yeah. Anna, which is the second track, like combines both synths and kind of like a, I don't know, like early 80s kind of horn riff that almost makes me think of Roxy Music and their like mature, you know, yuppie stage, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Son of God, it just has a really great kind of driving energy to it. The backup vocals sound very much like an early Arcade Fire song. So I feel like this is a great entry point for people who like Arcade Fire and who, you know, maybe like you mentioned, maybe aren't clamming for a Will Butler solo album.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there is a lot to offer here. I think the only things I really don't care for are the slower kind of piano ballads.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he had songs like that in him. You know, it's interesting, you know, those slower ones. But Something's Coming also I liked a lot because it seems to have a bit more of that funky, like sort of Reflector friendly feel to it. But mm-hmm. anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting, a project like this, to me, because I always wonder if it helps or hurts him that he's one of the dudes from Arcade Fire, because it's like, on the one hand, he's going to get more exposure for this solo project. It's on Merge Records, you know, it's gotten a little bit of a push to the indie blogs, but at the same time, like, how many people are going to write it off that, like, it's just solo album from this random dude in Arcade
yeah.
Fire, like it's just a solo project, it's not even like it's not a project on its own, where mm-hmm. this album actually does have some really interesting merits to it. And like you said, like I totally agree with you guys that the most interesting thing about it is how diverse it is. There are things that appeal to a lot of different rock listeners on this album, and yeah, I kind of agree that the slow songs are yeah, a little bit skippable, but I think when he kind of lets himself loose a little bit and kind of delves into something more up-tempo, it's a fun listen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's, you know, if this was just a newcomer, fresh face, we had no idea who this was, the blogs would be a lot more excited about it and be like, oh my God, here's this really promising record from a newcomer.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But I think, I mean, even me, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, Arcade Fire solo album, eh. But like listening to it, it is incredible.
It's always interesting when like the solo project comes out. And like, I mean, the most successful one recently is Bleachers, I guess, with that, because especially because it sounds so different and it had such a big single. But like, you think about like, remember like that Jim James album, the My Morning Jacket guy, it's stuff like that is always like, oh, it's solo project, like, yeah, I'll come back to My Morning Jacket in a year,
and that is a fantastic album. I love that one. Similarly, like Eleanor Friedberger's solo career from Fiery Furnaces, I think she's brilliant, but it's also, it certainly has not gotten the same attention that a proper Fiery Furnaces album would.
It's true.
Where are Fiery Furnaces?
I don't know. He did one. This is a tangent, but he did one solo album. She has two.
Damn it! I want to know.
I have no idea. You know,
I'm not sure
the story is with that.
But you know, for obviously anyone who's seen Arcade Fire live, Will is like, I remember the first time I ever saw them live. I was like, this is. I mean, obviously Regine is a unique presence. Wynn has his own sort of unique thing. I'd never really seen a band like that before. But then there's this like maniac climbing the walls. Yeah. And I was like, I was just drawn to him the whole time. And I think every time I've seen them, I just feel like he just brings something different and that lightens the mood a little bit, maybe always of that band. And I,
totally,
and, but this record is less manic in a way than you might expect, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's give a listen to it. Will Butler, Son of God, from his album Policy. Alright, that was Will Butler. Next up, let us look at another indie pick. This is a Jason one, Joanna Gruesome.
Yeah.
Song is Honestly Do Your Worst.
Are you a fan?
Oh, I love them. Yeah, love them.
They're great.
Yeah, so cool.
I don't really have much else to say about that. This song is...
All right, yeah. Move on to the next song.
Have you... So I got a... I was fortunate enough to hear their new album, Peanut Butter.
Which I love that title because I love peanut butter.
Yes. And
and this whole allergy thing, I'm old enough that I'm like, we never had this when I was a
we
kid.
We didn't have peanut allergies in my day.
I don't remember those, so...
I'm old enough to say... Hey, man.
I'm sure...
That's like the hottest take on this podcast ever. Like, yeah. Peanut allergies?
Anti-peanut allergies.
Come on.
That's making up for Voltaire.
We're trying to play to the people. We touch upon the hot issues on the Must Hear Music Podcast. Yeah, no, I mean, so... I love what Joanna Gruesome is doing, and I picked this song because I think that people are going to love this second album that's coming out. I think it's coming out in June. And what they do on this song and what they do on the entire album is create so much fuzz and then swoop out of it so elegantly into this beautiful kind of restrained melody. And I've never seen Joanna Gruesome live, but I cannot wait to see them pull off these songs live because I've heard they're amazing. And there's nothing else to really say. I mean, they're just getting better. They're getting more polished. And these songs, like, it just, when these songs connect, this is the second song on the album, it's just so mesmerizing to me. So, glad to hear you're a fan, John. I
like them a lot. And I was really stoked to hear the first track that came from this record, about 2 months ago, I guess, called Last Year, which is really super hard. I mean, hard edge for them. And, like, remind me like more of like Perfect Pussy than it did Joanna Gruesome, you know, but this one kind of splits the difference. I feel like there's still the, you know, the melodic Slumberland thing going on, you know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just think that what they're doing is what a lot of people are doing, but I think they're doing it better than most. That's kind of how I feel. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like there's strong Amelia Fletcher vibes throughout their kind of sound, and I love that. I love most of her bands, from Tallulah Gosh to Heavenly to Tender Trap. So they like kind of have her sense of like twee and melody, yeah, but then lathered with, you know, really great noise rock at the same, yeah, time. And I think what makes it work is that it's not just, and I don't want to name any names, but there are some bands that kind of do that combination of saccharine melodies and then noise, but the noise seems like it's just an affectation. Like, they, mm-hmm, actually rock out.
Yeah.
Like, right, they know how to rock. And so it sounds really good when it's combined.
Totally.
So I haven't heard the album. I like the title as well. I have nothing against peanut allergies. And I think
I love peanut butter.
That's what I have to say about the subject.
Love it.
So,
are, yeah, you a Joanna Newsom fan?
John? I am.
All right.
I am.
Joanna, it's funny because Joanna Newsom's like one of my five favorite artists.
Oh,
ever.
Really?
So like,
such a
when
weird
I heard
favorite.
That they were, yeah, I know. But when I heard that there was a band called Joanna Gruesome, I was like, come on, guys. But now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm all in on the title or on the band name now.
There's so many title artist names, band names that I've sort of done that on. This is like almost sacrilege considering how many times I've interviewed them. But back in 07, 08, I was like, Vampire Weekend?
Yeah.
Really? I was like,
it's just two words. It's right? Like a thing and a thing. And now they're together. Yeah. And we're,
yeah,
Vampire
or
Weekend.
Like Chet Faker, like the, yeah, similar that. Takeoff,
oh, sure,
on.
Sure.
I'm always like, eh. But yeah, then you start to like them and you kind of forget about it.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's also so indie. Like Joanna Newsom is not a household name. And to start
know,
an entire
that's
band.
That's why I love it now.
That's a
now.
Takeoff on her.
Yeah. Now I'm just.
It's so insular. But let's listen to it. So Joanna Gruesome, Honestly Do Your Worst. Okay, that was Joanna Gruesome. Next up, let's talk about a significantly less indie band. They go by the name Mumford & Sons.
Oh, they're pretty, come on.
And
pretty,
a little bit obscure. So they have a new song
also
out.
Also Slumberland.
Called Believe. And it's
Daniel
from their...
Glass likes to think of Glassnode, I think, still as an indie, I think.
I mean, yeah.
I believe he would... Yeah,
yeah, totally, man.
Sorry to, not to get all label into the label weeds here, but
we've covered peanut allergies, we've covered Voltaire. Let's go into the label.
Anyways. Go in the music label world.
Brushing
past the label talk.
Yes.
So their upcoming album is called Wilder Mind, and Jason, you wrote a really great piece on this for the website. So
I think
listeners should go check it out.
Just yesterday,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I did, but like it was just a thing.
No, I think you nailed it. Okay, maybe
thanks,
really
guys.
Great was too far.
Yeah,
but
great. It definitely wasn't. It was okay.
It's interesting. This song, it's not that different from what they've done in certainly structure, but the sound is rather different because basically the banjos are kind of gone from the mix.
Yeah,
and in place we have. Kind of, it's electric guitar is overstating it, but there is an electric guitar. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's not wailing.
Comes
they're
in later, right?
Yeah,
suddenly.
About 2 minutes in.
But kind of that like atmospheric, maybe the Edge-esque guitar work. Similarly, the soundscape of this is very different than what we've heard in the past. Like this is not a Roots or Americana thing. It really almost reminds me more of kind of like Brian Eno producing U2 or something,
yep,
like that. But the song is. Otherwise, not terribly different from what they've done in the past. I think it's good. I don't know if I
are
want
you guys
a full
not,
album
are,
of this.
Are you not hearing Coldplay, at least at the beginning?
I hear Coldplay, yeah, too. But yeah, let me toss it to... So what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think, John?
Oh, Mumford & Sons. It's a sweeter sound. It's like, I guess I was not aware that, I guess there's been a lot of advance word that this record was going to sound significantly different. And
yeah,
I know people have known that. I just wasn't aware of it. And then I didn't hear it. Joe sent me the track today. And I did read your great write up.
Oh, thanks, man.
And
oh,
no, it was good.
Guys.
And I was kind of struck by how different it was. I kind of dug the video that's driving at night, mm-hmm, kind of craziness. It's still a crowd pleaser in its own way, a different kind of crowd pleaser, but it's not like they're looking to, I think, upset the apple cart of success,
right,
too much.
Yeah. It's interesting because when I first heard this song, and I've heard a couple songs from the Mumford & Sons album at this point, and when I first heard this song, I was really interested because I thought that they could go the way of Ed Sheeran with this album, which is that, like, you know, they could go from more like a folk sound to something more poppy. Like, they, like Mumford & Sons works with Rick Rubin or Benny Blanco or something along those lines. But they're kind of doubling down on rock, which is interesting to me because rock is, you know, you saw what, like, Imagine Dragons, you know, bands like Foster the People. We've talked about it a bunch of times on this podcast where it's just like it's so hard for a rock band to have that kind of sustained moment of popularity these days. It's interesting to me that they're kind of going with a guitar heavy sound. I compared it to Coldplay and Oasis in my little write up, but it's interesting to me that I don't mind this song at all. Like I think that what Mumford & Sons want to do is, because they don't really have hits, like Little Lion Man, like, was sort of a hit. It wasn't like a pop hit. Like, they've never really had like crossover hits. They just
I Will Wade went into the public consciousness.
I don't know about that.
But that, like, would certainly be it.
I don't know.
It would be the one probably that the most was heard outside of their.
Yeah, I don't know. But like I think that what they want to do in their career at this point is just make songs that sound awesome at festival shows and across like huge sprawling fields on like a summer night. Like I think that's kind of what I think. And the rest of the songs that I've heard kind of play to that as well. It's like they want to make big, big music that might not, you know, impact the charts, but like is just going to keep that brand of like festival crowd pleasers going. Yeah, I think that's their bread and butter.
I theorized this a few weeks ago about Imagine Dragons because they also had a Coldplay-esque song.
Yeah. But,
so now that Coldplay is, I think their next album is their lesson. I really think now it's like there's just this mad dash for the finish line. Like which rock band that exists can turn themselves into the Coldplay mold to like take that throne.
Yeah.
And, you know, at festivals and on the charts or whatever.
And I will say that
people's hearts.
Yeah, and I will say that this is the, like, so I've heard four songs. This is the most Coldplay by far. The other songs kind of sound more like The National, like Arctic Monkeys, and they worked with
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much
now,
like
now you've got my attention.
All right, there you go.
You've got The National. You're talking.
One of the songs totally made me think of The War on Drugs. Like it's very much in that
even
kind of
so.
Vein.
Oh.
Yeah, and cool. But the thing is, like, I think it's interesting because it still sounds like Mumford & Sons. Like they still put like his voice at the forefront. The backing harmonies are right there again. It's just electric guitar instead of banjo. So it's going to be an interesting project. I think a lot of people are going to like surprisingly dig it more than they think. And I don't know if Believe is the song to get them there, but I think some of the songs that are coming will. So
yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it. Mumford & Sons. That was the new Mumford & Sons. Next up, we're switching to another Norris pick. It's Courtney Barnett. Song is Pedestrian at Best.
I didn't know we were playing this. I'm so happy.
Yes.
I'm so stoked.
Well, you suggested it.
I know I did suggest it, but I thought you were, because it's been out for a little bit, so I didn't know if you.
No, I mean, the album is still coming up. The album's called Sometimes I Sit and Think, and Sometimes I Just Sit.
Which is the best title
so
of the year.
Funny. Yeah. But I don't want to say too much about it. But you, what do you like about
this?
Well,
it's one of my in the still young 2015 one of my absolute favorite tracks of the year. I don't know. I mean, Courtney is just so. I can't say enough good things about her. I mean, she first got me, obviously, as she did with many people, with Avant Gardner, this crazy song about anaphylactic shock out in the garden, and it just like was like. Man, I love this girl so much. This was like a year and a half ago, I guess, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this one is more rockin', and I love the hook, and the video is, my God, it's like, do you guys know the video with the clown in it?
Yes.
In the carnival?
Yes.
For those who haven't seen it, it's essentially the idea is that she's a clown who was clown of the year 2 years ago, and now no one wants to have anything to do with her because all we want are the newest, shiniest, freshest, youngest clowns.
It's so good.
And as an old clown, I can certainly relate. Anyway. Just excerpt that.
Yeah. This is going to be the title of the podcast. It's going to be
clown.
John Norris, colon, I'm an old clown.
Yeah, well, might as well. I love her. I know she's going to be one of the stories of South by next week, just because everyone's so stoked for this record, and she's doing a lot of shows down there, I think. And
I think it's just everything you said is true, but it's just listening to this song, I'm just shocked how like incredibly wonderfully it rocks. Like I had heard her stuff before and liked it, and it had she has a really great deadpan sense of humor, very witty lyrics. But her stuff was a little more laid back, and this like really kicks ass, and I'm so excited for this album.
For sure.
I think she's only had two EPs out, maybe three EPs, but so this will be her debut, and I'm just like cannot wait to see what she's going to do.
Yeah, have you guys heard the newest song released from this album is called Depreston? Did you guys hear that? That's great too. I've been a fan of Courtney for a good amount of time, and I was the guy at like Lollapalooza, like she played at like 2 o'clock and it was super hot and I was like, yeah, but I gotta see her. And so I saw her and it, like they're just like the people, it wasn't a huge crowd, but they were so dedicated, they were so into her, and it was such a good show. I just think like, yeah, I think she's gonna be like that indie darling of the year, like in the same way that like going back to War on Drugs like was last year, someone like a St. Vincent. Like I just think she's like everyone's gonna get behind this record. I really, really do.
Yeah, the humor on it and the kind of, at least on this song, the half sung, half spoken delivery reminds me a little bit of Art Brut. Do you ever listen to them back in the day?
All right.
Sure.
It's just got that same like irreverent, like wittiness to it. So,
wow. That's a good comparison.
I think in the case of this track, it certainly is. So shout out to Art Brut, wherever you are.
Definitely.
But yeah, let's listen to it. It's just incredible. Courtney Barnett, Pedestrian at Best. All right, that was Courtney Barnett. Our next and last song is Jason's pick, Meg Myers. Song's called Sorry.
Oh, yeah. All right. Meg Myers. I always kind of forget what I pick for them.
Yeah, it's always a surprise for Jason what he picked.
I'm just always enthusiastic. So Meg Myers is a singer-songwriter on Atlantic, and she's always just put out really interesting stuff, in my opinion. She's sort of in this mode of angry pop rock in a way that like makes me think of Alanis Morissette, and I keep waiting for her to put out like a pop song that really resonates, but then it like, and she hasn't yet, and the more and more I listen, I'm like, maybe she doesn't need to do that, maybe she just can be like 2015 Alanis Morissette. Like I think Sorry is a great example of what she does best, which is the songwriting is so tight, she's, you know, has plenty of room to show off her vocals. It's just like she goes hard, and I appreciate what she does. Like you don't hear that much of this, like major label like sneering as much as I would like to hear. I'm interested to see what you guys think, because it's an interesting project. What do you think, guys?
I feel like I listened to it and I walked away not totally knowing how to feel about the artist.
It's fair.
Like. I just didn't know either way. Like there's definitely a singer songwriter element, but it certainly has a pop sheen to it. Like it's more like, yeah, it sounds like it would be on a major label. I guess I just feel like I don't know, and this is really asking far too much of one listen, or I guess I listened to it twice from one artist, but I'm not really like sure what her vibe is, or you know, like what's her persona. I guess I feel like I don't have enough information to compute, but I like the song.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know.
Is it fair to say, Jason, that it's a little less dark than some of the songs that she's known for in the past?
Yes.
I mean, what was it, Desire? Was
yes.
That
the Desire was...
That was the one where the video, she was like... It was like SVU.
Yeah, exactly. It was like in the apartment and she's like floating and...
Right.
Yeah.
It's sexual, but it's also kind of Black Widow-ish,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
She's not sure if she wants to like do you or do you.
Yeah.
Like, do you win?
And I... I, I get the Alanis thing. I've seen other people compare her to Fiona Apple in the past, which I don't. She's not. I'm not sure. I feel like she's quite as fragile as Fiona. What the first time I ever saw her, you guys may think it's totally off, but she reminded me of a little bit more was like without the dudes, Amy Lee from Evanescence.
Hey, you're talking to a big Evanescence fan.
Not that she needs dudes around her. She doesn't need a band because I think her, what she does, her persona and sort of what she's bringing to it is compelling. It's pretty over the top for me, but there's a lot of we were talking about Mumford earlier. There's a lot of bombast that this is borderline for me, I can really get into it. Like, it's definitely a big, big hook, And
I think it's interesting that, like, she's hard to quantify and hard to kind of sort, I guess. I mean, just saying, like, from Alanis to Fiona Apple to Amy Lee, like, those are three very different artists. And it's interesting to me that she kind of evokes each of them in a very different way,
aspects of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just think, like, this is, I'm not saying like this is a great, great song. I just think, like, she's an interesting artist. Like, I'm very interested to see what happens with her, and maybe it's not this project, maybe it's the next one, but I think she's worth watching.
What is on the horizon for her?
Well, she had an EP last year. I think this is sort of like they're floating this song out, and hopefully an album will come soon, right. But I'm not sure. So,
all right. Well, let's give it a listen. It's Meg Myers, Sorry.
My voice is twisted, guilty goes the tongue. Your eyes are faded, that used to turn.
All right, that was Meg Myers. That's all we got for this week. But John, Mr. Norris,
yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Of course,
it was so
it's great
much
being
fun
here.
To have you guesting.
Yeah, it was super fun, yeah.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Thanks, guys.
And Jason.
Hey, thanks, guys. And just to just because I want to be correct. Debut out, Meg Myers' debut album out this summer. So no date yet.
Okay.
But,
cool.
So it's like I said, kind of floating it out, seeing what happens. Debut out. And anyway, John. Thanks, man. Thanks
of course.
For coming by.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do it again sometime.
Definitely, that'd be great.
All
cool.
Right. And everyone out there. If you have any recs, please tweet them at us, and have a good week.
I'm gonna tweet so many recs. Man.
Please don't. All right, bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.